Wondery Plus subscribers can listen to Watcher Crappens ad-free right now. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
Well, hello, and welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast for all that crap we love to talk about on Eel Bravs. I'm Ronnie.
How's Ben? Hello, Ben.
Hi, Ronnie. How are you?
Good, great, wonderful. Everybody, welcome to the show. Today, we are recapping Real Housewives of Orange County. Earlier this week, we did a Patreon exclusive trailer trash, which is where we trash a trailer. And this week it was The Secret Lives of Mormon Wives. That's a new show about hashtag mom talk, which is coming to Hulu. It looks great. We were talking about recapping that whole show, but it all comes out in one day, so we're not really sure how feasible that's going to be. But we also have heard about a show called Chimp Crazy that's on Max. It's supposed to be good. It's by the makers of... the Tiger King.
Tiger King.
So we are going to check that out next week. So join us. We've got all sorts of new stuff happening over here while Bravo languishes. But you know what? When they're languishing, they're still serving. They're serving well. Okay, is what I guess I mean to say.
And by the way, in other news, something that is new on our programming. Is that you're celebrating your birthday on Sunday. So everyone wish Ronnie a happy birthday over this weekend. Don't do it until Sunday.
It's going to be my last year of the 50s. It's the last year of my 40s, everyone.
Oh, no. Man. I thought you were like 47. I thought you were No, you're
I'm
not
48. 49. Yes, I'm 48 right now. And I will be 49 the next episode we do. This is the last episode of my 48th year, ladies and gentlemen.
Wow. Well, I think this is actually your 49th year, to be honest. Speaking of old people. Because your first year is when you're zero. Anyway.
I always have trouble with that math.
I think that's how it works. That's why it's like really 2001 is the new millennium.
No, well, I was born in 75 and it's 24 and I'm going to be 49. So there you go.
No, but meaning that like your first year is actually before year one. So you're concluding your 49th year as you hit 49. Like you have not done a full 49 years.
But
by the time
you
hit your birthday, you've done a full 49 years.
God, Ben, thanks. Way to save that one.
But know what though? You're in Los Angeles, so you're really just 33.
No, in Los Angeles, I'm like 97. Who makes it to almost 50 in LA? Everybody else is gone. They're like, bye. Well, why would I stay there? I'm aging. I'm like, I'm aging. This is great. Everyone thinks I'm a rich producer because I'm just like some older, fat, bald guy. So people like assume that I'm like a Harvey Weinstein or, well, you know, like pre-scandal maybe, like I can help him in some way. But guess what? It's not going to happen. Okay? I trick you. I'm just going to try and make you buy me ice cream at some point.
Ooh,
that's my big game plan. That's my big game plan in LA. I'm like, maybe I can find someone to buy me some ice cream. It's my behind the music.
Very specific OnlyFans account. It's like you pay with ice cream cones.
I'll take it. Okay, anyway, no one knows what we're talking about. But guess what? It doesn't matter because I'm old. Okay, I'm old and doddering. So let's get to...
Kelly doddering.
God!
I'm old!
I'm old! Okay, let's talk about Real Housewives of the OC, which stands for Orange County, for anyone who's new here.
Someone all this time is so confused about what OC stood for. Well, I thought it stood for L'Occitane Central. It's where you go for get a lot of nice soaps. So we are back in La Quinta. Oh, look, there is Bueller, by the way. If you're watching with Crappin' on Demand, as you should, you can watch Bueller licking himself.
Licking his wiener. How was it?
Licking that wiener.
Did you have a good time? Did you find everything that you needed?
Bueller found his light. I just have to say, if this is not an advertisement for Patreon. And in case you missed the announcement, we are streamlining our Patreon. Stay tuned. We'll have more instructions once that is all done, but we'll make it a lot easier for everyone to sign up, etc.
Bueller's wiener is clean, apparently, so he's done with that. So let's get into Real Housewives of Orange County.
Oh, I forgot to mention something.
God damn it.
Speaking of Bueller, I received a letter from Bueller saying I owe him $75,000. After everything I put for Bueller, and I owe him money. Let me tell you something. Your dog, Ronnie, is not getting a cent from me. Not a cent.
I paid for the London Hotel. Four rooms
for Bueller. And it says right here that Bueller, Mr. Bueller, he has no middle name.
He does. His middle name is Tivis. Actually,
Mr. Bueller Tivis. See, and he never even shared that with me all this time. And now I owe him money. I owe him money for him to be closed off to me? I don't think so.
I could do nothing. Thank you so much for your kindness. Thank you. You've all been so kind to me.
These ladies have not been kind to you. What are you talking about? They've dragged you by the hair face down through the mud every single episode this season. What are you talking about? It's like,
they're just so kind.
This is such a shit show of an episode. It's amazing. So good. I don't know why Bravo has tucked this show off on a Thursday night. I guess it's not tucked off on a Thursday night. It just feels that way. It feels like it should be like a Sunday night show right now. So we are back in La Quinta, you know, dueling girls trips. We're at Elizabeth Vargas's listing. Everyone's waking up. Emily and Gina are in the kitchen. And there are apparently four Brita pitchers on the counter, which I didn't even notice.
You know, people have been mentioning that in the comments all week. Hilarious. Like, oh my God, how come you guys didn't comment on the Britas? Like, hello, did you not notice the Britas? No, I didn't notice. But also, is anyone really shocked that Elizabeth Vargas lives in an $11 million house with dirty water? I mean, doesn't that just sound so on brand with her?
You spend all this money on this house, but you don't install like a filter. Like, just one of those, like, pure filters on the faucet. Yeah. That, you know, right?
We didn't have it the way I grew up. You know, the way I grew up, we were always running from Jesus lovers and sitting by a creek. You know, sitting by a creek, singing each other musical songs. It's raining of the day, we can get water. We used to filter water through our bras. That's how we grew up.
Unbelievable, undeniable. Let me tell you the story of our Britas. One Brit is for the man I used to love. One Brit is for the man I hope to love. One Brit is for my mama because she deserves a Brita. And the last one is for you.
So we are back at Elizabeth Vargas's house. And Gina's like, oh my God, chili does not smell good in the morning. I'm just going to put that out there. Oh, disgusting.
Yeah, chili does not last. Why is anybody bringing chili? Stop bringing chili places.
I have a bombshell announcement. Chili doesn't smell good at any time of the day. It's morning, evening, lunch. It may taste good. I have yet to ever smell a chili that smells good.
Really? Not even when it's cooking? You're not like, wow, the smell of that chili.
I'm always like, ugh, chili smell. But then I eat it. I'm like, oh, it's good.
So then we go to the Big Bear Babs. They're waking up at Tammy's house. And we see the mess that they've left all over the place. There's like sweaty bear costumes and pie from Tamara's feet laying around.
It was smart because they left out their dirty dishes overnight, and the ceiling leak just washed it all away. It was great.
Yeah. And Tamara goes to check on the girls sleeping in the twin beds. And Jen's like, oh my God, Tamara, this was so good. Tamara, thank you so much. This was really amazing. Thank you so much for everything. What a twin bed. This was great. Sleeping in this twin bed, it's really freezing in here. I'm freezing to death. It's been great, Tamara. You're such a good friend.
You know what was great was that I felt like that little drip of water coming from the ceiling on my forehead. It felt like someone was kissing me good night, like all night long. It was just so comforting. I think I may have pneumonia, though.
You know, it just felt like being waterboarded. And, you know,
I remember reading a lot about waterboarding, and I would think to myself, you know what? At least people are asking you questions. I mean, that means that they have an interest in you. You know what? Thank you so much. Thank you so much, interrogators. Thank you.
Yeah, because you only put things on boards that you want to give to people you love. So Tamara's like, yeah, we laughed,
Why don't we cheese board terrorists? You know what? If we really want information from terrorists, we should really cheese board them. You know, a little charcuterie goes a long way. You know, who doesn't open up around a little charcuterie? Am I right? Thank you, terrorists. Thank you for coming over for wine and cheese. Thank you so much.
What about a butterboard? I guarantee that's a way to get a terrorist to talk. You just like, okay, sir, we're going to make you watch butterboard tutorials until he talks. Like, okay, I'm done. I can't watch the butterboards anymore.
God, the butterboards. Is that trend still going?
I don't think so.
I told you about my mom's butterboard, right? She's like, we're doing a butterboard. And they put like 10 different kinds of butter on a board. And like within 30 minutes, it was all melted and slopped together all over the table. It was the most disgusting thing ever. Whoever came up with that, stop watching TikTok. Just stop it.
I will say that the butterboard trend, I think, is done. But you know what trend Tamara's keeping alive? She has a butter dish that says butter. I noticed that in her kitchen.
Butter.
She just loves. I guess she's easily confused by what food is in what container, you know? So she's like, I wonder what sort of rectangle is under this porcelain cloche.
Hey, I thought this was a Snickers dish. Where the fuck is my Snickers? Butter.
Like, again, I'm just always laughing because, you know, we talked about this once at a live show that in her old home, she had a piece of art up in her kitchen that said focaccia. And I just love the idea that she went into a store and saw something that said focaccia. I was like, yes, I want that. I need a focaccia poster in my kitchen because I need to remind people that this is a place where you might possibly get focaccia. And so she goes into Marshall's and sees a butter dish that says butter and is like, that's very helpful. That's good. We need that. Okay. Because it could be the condom dish. We don't know. Batch.
I may get betsy sometimes, but my bread is bubbly. Yeah, I forgot you.
Jen. Okay, so they love. They talk about how much they laughed together. God, didn't we laugh, girls? Didn't we have fun? And then we see a clip of last night where they're really struggling to laugh. Like, ha, 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 this is so fun. Girls' night. Ah, ha, ha, ah, ha, ha, ha.
Tim was like, I really like Katie. Mainly because she, you know, doesn't like Heather. And Jen's like, I like Katie too. Thank you so much. And then Alexa's like, oh yeah, I really like her. She's a good girl. And Tamara says, but how are we going to convince Heather to like her? And how Alexis goes, well, Heather's hard-headed. And Jen's like, she is? Yeah, she's hard-headed. And then it does a smash cut to Heather with a cleaver smashing a pineapple. And I lost it. I was like, I'm done. I am done. I don't need to watch any more of this episode. The fact that Heather found a cleaver, like that is the singular most terrifying image is Heather Dubrow with a cleaver just slicing it down.
Yeah, especially with those beady eyes. Just like,
I love pineapple. How about you?
If you ever take away this tropical fruit from me, it will cost you a lot. Heather DeBro with a hatchet is like the singular most terrifying image that we could have launching into this weekend. Like, and she just comes down so authoritatively with it. You know, I just don't even think, I know it's an $8 million house. They don't have a water filter, but they do have a hatchet. And I'm sorry, it's not a hatchet, a cleaver. I've been saying hatchet. It's a cleaver. And like the fact that she found it and was like, I will use this. I feel like most people are scared of cleavers. Although it's funny because I've been a little cleaver curious recently. I'm like, is it time for me to get a cleaver? But I'm like very scared of one. But Heather Dubrow just launches right in. You know, she has no problem. You know, she runs around her house with that, chasing the servants.
No, she probably has somebody else doing it.
She's very comfortable. She's who put the towels here?
She definitely just her look of terror. She's always had like a terror. I'm saying terrorist a lot today, but she's always had a terrifying look in her eyes just when they turn all black. But today I'm really noticing it here with the cleaver. And then I was noticing it in the opening thing where she's like, I may like champagne,
I may drink out of flutes, but that doesn't mean you can play me.
Just the way she looks into the camera, like, I just feel my soul being sucked out of me. I just feel like my arms swing back. I just feel like I'm in a Satan movie. Like, I feel everything just thrusting forward towards the screen. You know, I'm glad it's a short scene. I was like, damn, I almost lost my soul today.
I know. The more evil she is, the more I love her. I have to say, it's just the weirdest thing. I just... The beat, like, the darker her eyes get, the more she holds a terrifying weapon, the more she levels very, very scary threats at people, the more I'm like, yes, I am a total Heather DeBro convert.
Well, you know what I love? I love a good hatchet job. Okay, Gina, but maybe less hatcheting at the hairdresser. Am I right, ladies? Poor Gina. Poor, literally poor Gina. So they're making small talk over there, and Gina's like, you know, there's something unresolved brewing between Emily and we. It's honestly the most uncomfortable feeling for me. Like, I hate it.
Why is she doing? Have you noticed that she's like sort of slipping into a Boston accent? She's putting like an ooh on things where it doesn't go. Why is she faking an accent when she's really from Long Island? I just don't get it.
I don't know. There's so many things about Gina that perplex me. So then Emily goes, well, I know how reactionary I am. Which I'm like, it's reactive, not reactionary.
New Argentina, new relevant. Hey, someone sing Vita in my home?
I know how reactionary I am, which... technically means deeply conservative. And if I say something immediately, I'll just be mean and aggressive, which is what she's accused me of. But so I'm just trying to think before I speak. Okay, hold on. Let me think. All right, I'm ready to speak to Gina. You're so fucking stupid. Why are you acting like that? Sorry. I wasn't ready yet. I'm reactionary.
Yeah, you know, I'm just trying to think before I speak.
Well, let me tell you, do not touch these skillets. Okay, I have cooked some bread, I think. I'm not really sure what's in here. What was that, Ben? What was that in those skillets, Ben?
Shannon Bedore had made two Dutch babies. Two Dutch pancakes, if you will. And she has...
Is that what those were? Those looked amazing.
That's exactly what they were. They represented, one was to represent David, one was to represent John Jansen, which is that this relationship that once seemed very lofty and full of joy had actually cratered in the center. So enjoy breakfast, everyone.
Now they're just big gaping holes of despair. Dig in!
And if you touch them, you'll get burned. I'm so happy. I'm so happy with my choices. So yeah, Shannon she's made two beautiful looking Dutch babies, which, by the way, like, if you don't think that Shannon is a top-tier housewife, like, has any other housewife in 20 years ever made, let alone one Dutch baby, or one Dutch baby, let alone two? No, Shannon Bedore, like, I just bow down to her. So she's made two Dutch babies. However, she takes these two pans out of the oven and puts them directly on the nice countertop, which I was like, I feel like that you're not supposed to do that. And so then, and everyone else, she puts them down and she goes, okay, everyone, now I want everyone to know that these pan handles are very hot. So don't touch them. It's very easy to forget. And if you touch them, see if you touch them like this, ow. See, that's what happens. It's easy to forget. So don't touch them. Like, ow, I did it again. Oh, God.
Are you supposed to even be putting those on that countertop? Here, put them on Alfredo. Alfredo. Wait. Where is Alfredo? Is there no Alfredo in this house?
Let me tell you something. You know what? Okay, everyone, my hand feels better now. Okay, now I want everyone to come over here and serve themselves. Do you want some? I just grabbed that handle again. That's it. Hand me the cleaver, we're chopping off her hands.
So she burns herself again, and Gina goes,
that was so bazozo.
I cry. This was so Shannon to do that. She takes these, she literally lectures everyone about the panhandles, about why no one should touch them because they are blazing hot and it's easy to forget. And then when Heather says, when Heather says, can you put them on the countertop? She goes, oh, let me move them, and picks up both with her hands.
Yeah, that's our girl. So then we go back to the La Quinta ladies, and there's pills and a Red Bull on the counter, which, you know, I mean, it's like all of our homes. And Jen's like, wait a minute, are you a Red Bull over coffee kind of a girl? And Alexis is like, you know what? I don't like I don't even know what's going on with my period because, like, I'm on my period a lot and then I'm not on my period. So is it, you know, is it middle age? Am I going through my change? Like, is that what's happening? I really don't know anymore. And they're like,
the question was Red Bull instead of a coffee. And then it went into menopause. I really, you know what? I don't really need to know all of this. What do you think of better boarding terrorists? Good idea or not?
Listen, I just want to remind you that if you're being clocked by me, Jen, you're doing something wrong. I don't clock people.
I don't even clock clocks. You know, I don't even ask a clock what time it is because you know what? The clock has its own life. It doesn't really need me bothering
it. It's providing such a service to us and we're not even asking anything of it. You know, it's not asking anything of us, I should say. We're asking a lot of it.
You know, it's under a lot of stress. It just found out it has ticks. That's a good one. I saved that for my kids, but they don't listen to me. They're off toilet papering homes and terrorizing cutter boards.
Which I support. It's their creative outlet.
Apparently. So. I support not raising your children. You know what? It takes a village. It takes a village to not raise a child. Really, it's a lot of ignoring going on. The butcher ignores, the baker ignores, the candle maker ignores. Where does terrorism come from? Why do I keep saying terrorism? Okay, let's move on with this.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a crack.
What's up, guys? It's your girl Kiki, and my podcast is back with a new season. And let me tell you, it's so good. And I'm diving into the brains of entertainment's best and brightest, okay? Every episode, I bring on a friend. I mean, the likes of Amy Poehler, Kel Mitchell, Vivica Fox, the list goes on. So follow, watch, and listen to Baby. This is Kiki Palmer on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
She struck him with her motor vehicle. She had been under the influence, and then she left him there.
In January 2022, local woman Karen Reed was implicated in the mysterious death of her boyfriend, Boston police officer John O'Keefe. It was alleged that after an innocent night out for drinks with friends, Karen and John got into a lover's quarrel en route to the next location. What happens next depends on who you ask. Was it a crime of passion?
If you believe the prosecution, it's because the evidence was so compelling. This was clearly an intentional act. And his cause of death was blunt force trauma with hypothermia.
Or a corrupt police cover-up.
If you believe the defense theory, however, this was all a cover-up to prevent one of their own from going down.
Everyone had an opinion. And after the 10-week trial, the jury could not come to a unanimous decision.
To end in a mistrial, it's just a confirmation of just how complicated this case is.
Law and Crime presents the most in-depth analysis to date of the sensational case in Karen. You can listen to Karen exclusively with Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app, Apple Podcasts, or Spotify.
Happens commercial.
Alexis is like... Okay, like, so, okay, you know, I'm so sorry. So, like, it's just, like, what I'm trying to say is I love coffee, but, like, for the past 2 months, like, I've not loved coffee because I think that, like, I think that my morning drink has just been the love that Johnny J pours into me. Like, he's just, like, so sweet and, like, what he goes through every day, it just, like, breaks my heart. We're just, like, a duo, the two of us. And, like, who needs coffee? Like, I'm caffeinated by the Lord and by Johnny J. There's just, like, you know, sometimes I get jitters. And I realize it's because my heart is racing because of Johnny J. Like, there's just, like, so much. Like, you know what? Maxwell's house, they might as well call it Johnny J's house. Okay, I'm drinking so much coffee because of Johnny. It's like, Alexa, stop it.
They're like, shut up. Tamara goes, don't even ask her any more questions. Gotta take it back, please. So then we go back to La Quinta, and now they're all drinking out of the pineapple Heather was slicing. Like, wow. Wow, pineapples, am I right? And Heather's like, it was really fun murdering that pineapple.
At home.
So, this has been really fun, you guys. You know, I thought we were going to have fun at golfing, but I didn't have fun. Do you know why? I was betrayed.
I didn't have fun because I didn't even get to have the Dom Perignon that I brought as a gift to Katie. Just want to pause and reflect on how expensive my gift was and how good of a person I am for giving it. Okay, continue.
Well, I had zero intention to bring our friend group into the fact that John Jansen is threatening to sue me and ruining my listing. I owe him money. I'm hyperventilating. Someone put the Dutch baby up to my mouth. Ow! Oh, I touched the pan. I was just supposed to touch the Dutch baby. Oh, it's a hard morning for me.
Well, here, let me just tell you.
Put your hand in the pineapple. It'll cool it down.
Let me just tell you, from the beginning, though, like from an optic standpoint, Shannon.
It didn't look good for you. It didn't look good for you, Shannon.
It didn't look good. It didn't look good for you, Shannon.
I don't know if I want to hear Gina talking about what looks good and what doesn't look good when she's presently talking to us with like a yellow towel over her head that's supposed to be her hair. I don't get it.
I love Emily talking about optics. Isn't she the one who was like drinking water from a dog bowl last season?
Isn't she the one married to Shane?
Seriously, you met your husband on GChat and it was Shane. Can we just stop with the optics talk?
I mean, honestly, okay, let me just finish this. It made you look like you had been dishonest about the relationship.
And she's like, what? Me? I mean, I just made two Dutch babies and you're calling me dishonest. I mean,
okay, they were Norwegian babies.
They were. It's okay, true.
It was.
It is true.
It's true. It was from a different part of Europe, but you know. I'm feeling a little faint right now. I think I need to just hold on to something to steady myself. Ow! And panhandle. It's just everywhere.
So then she does the classic questioning herself. Do I have stacks of my credit cards and canceled checks that prove that I showed and paid for stuff? Do I? I'm not even going to answer myself. That is how flustered I am. But I will do this with both of my hands. I will face the back of my palms at you, held straight,
is that
and then
serious?
I will move them counterclockwise towards each other.
This is so serious. We're not even doing the crisscross hands. We're not even doing that. This is so serious. We're not even grabbing two small threads and pushing them towards you. This is a behind reverse palms swirling. This is a five alarm issue.
Oh, we believe you, Shannon. We believe you.
Do you? Because you were just saying it looked like she was a total liar. Like, make up your mind. She was,
it is insane what I'm going through, you guys. Shannon has always said that she paid for every single thing. However, not to sound like Gretchen, but however, sounds just like her. But, you know, she said he never paid for a meal. And here's the problem. The whole basis of why Shannon's been upset all of these years is that he couldn't even pick up a meal. And now we find out that's not true. That is why you should always listen to the defense before you send the jury off to talk about things. Otherwise, you're just hearing the prosecution, and the prosecution makes a very good point. Then you threaten to kill the prosecution's family, and you settle out of court, and then Nicole tries to show up 10 years later and talk about suing you again for a bad boob job. I'm sorry. What were we talking about again? Re-murder Nicole? Bring Nicole back in here while I've still got this butcher knife.
For the record, that was my audition speech for the practice season 2. So, so then Gina's like, you know what? We knew that you were paying for like a bunch of stuff at like the beginning, but like, we didn't know that like, this was like his attempt to like, is reimburse you. Like, and she's like, well, that was my understanding. I thought like facelift was reimbursement. And she's like, right, I understand that. But like, no one knew that. So like, none of us knew that. And Shannon's like, I want to give you all an example. It was his oldest daughter's birthday. And I thought, let's go on our family vacation. And because he was too cheap to go anywhere more than 40 miles away, we went up to Los Angeles and I paid for 4 rooms at the London Hotel. And I said, well, we can't go to London because you're not rich enough. I'm not going to pay for your entire family. If you remember, there's 45 children that you have. So we're going to go to the London. And it was a wonderful weekend. It was close to 10 grand, and that's how generous I was. And he's telling me I owe him money. I brought him to a fairly decent hotel on Sunset Strip, and now I owe him money.
London is where they filmed Mary Poppins, and now he's trying to sue me.
Boy, it wasn't the real London.
Shut up, Heather. I mean, Emily.
I resent that.
So wait, were you trying to like buy the relationship? Were you trying to buy his love?
No, she was in love. She was in love. Listen, like, you're generous when you're in love. I mean, look how long I let Travis's kids pitch a tent in my guest bathroom.
You know, when you're in a relationship with someone, it feels like it's all in the same pot. Just ask Gina. All her children were sleeping in a pot.
I mean, in Gina's case, it is a crock pot. And that is literally where they all sleep. Okay, maybe we shouldn't start with Gina.
She really, she once saw the old woman in the shoe and thought, wow, I want to live like that.
But she couldn't afford a shoe. So She's an old woman living in a crock pot. The power went out a long time ago, so don't worry. She can't actually get cooked in it.
It wasn't a functional cauldron. It was a residential one. So, you know, men's egos are attached to their wild. Let's just look at David. I guess his egos are also attached to sluts on the beach. But either way, I wasn't going to confront him. You know, I just thought, I'm good. I'll just pay for it. I'll pay for this weekend for your ungrateful daughter. And that's what I did.
Well, can't you force like a mediation or something like that? I'm already paying my attorney to deal with it.
Well, maybe you should just cut out the attorney and send him an offer and say, listen, I'll give you 30 grand in a crock pot.
Wait a minute, I'm living there. No, I refuse.
I can't believe I'm getting foreclosed on. So Shannon's like,
I don't want to. I'm telling you, out of principle, I don't want to give him a dollar.
Then I feel bad. But it's just such a freaking slap in the face to me.
I'm so sorry, Shannon.
Oh, Shannon, I feel so bad, Shannon.
We support you until the next time I have to undermine you, and we'll figure it out. And whatever you need, someone will be there for you, Shannon, probably not me.
You just don't understand how overwhelmed I am. With love right now, Yorda!
I was like, I did not see that coming. I thought she was going to say, I'm so overwhelmed with, I don't know, being shat upon. But because these ladies didn't shit on her for 5 minutes, she's like, oh my God,
I know.
So much love. How are you thanking these people for being loving? They've been horrible to you, especially they just said it was, Dina and Emily.
They literally just said, oh yeah, when John saying that he is owed $75,000, that's a bad look for you, Shannon. And Heather's saying, well, I guess it's good to know the full story, because we always thought it was one way, but it turns out Shannon was wrong. It's like, you guys have been so supportive to me, Heather. You sitting there with that cleaver, threatening to chop off my hand unless I drink more from my pineapple. I have never felt such support.
Don't cry. It's going to be okay. Well, it's probably not going to be okay, but, you know, it'll be different. Well, it's not going to be any different. I mean, you'll be poor. You'll be missing $75,000, but hey, at least you'll be thinner. Well, I guess you don't really lose weight from it either. Someone stop me from talking, please.
Well, it turns out it's not so much that they have been so supportive. It's just that Shannon, just like Tamara in the previous scene, is in the process of building her army. And so she has to say that, like, she felt so much support, because here she says, she tells us, I have been going through so much in my head, living by myself, burning my hand on pans. And I would have, you know, in the past, I would have, you know, confided in Tamara about it. I would have called her up in the middle of the night. It's like, I burned my hand again. I can't believe it. So then this outpouring of support and kindness that I'm getting right now from non-Tamaras, I just didn't expect this. It's almost like Tamara's a bad person. Shouldn't have her in my life, and these are the good people, and we're in the right.
Yeah. So they're like, you go, Shannon. You're going to be fine. So then we cut back to La Quinta ladies, and it's pickleball time. And Alexis and Jen are talking, and they're talking about how fun last night was. And Jen's like, yeah, last night we formed a Bible study and established an OnlyFans page.
They usually do go hand in hand, actually.
And then we see flashbacks of them just being wild and crazy. So then Jen's talking about how it was Will's. She's talking to Tamara, right? Is this the Tamara scene? Yeah. So she's talking to Tamara, and she's saying that it was Will's day with the kids, and she's worried that Will's going to be late to pick them up because he was always late. And she's like, but you know, he did take the kids to dinner, and that was nice. And, you know, I just wish Will and Laura and I could all sit down and say, we have these 9 kids between us, you know, so Laura, text me. And so then she tells us the story of this Laura girl, which I don't think we've ever heard, have we? But she's
Laura and Will have been together 3 years now, and Laura was a friend of mine, you know, back in the day. She was my interior designer, one of my best friends, and then she got with Will. So I saw her on the carpool line one time, and I told her off. I did this to her. Nah. I pointed my finger, you know. I said a lot of things. I rolled down my window. I said, Laura, Thank you. Thank you so much, Laura. Thank you so much for being such a slut and stealing my husband, even though I gave him up. But you know what? That was my furniture. And just because it said for free and it was in front of my house doesn't mean that it was for you, Laura. Okay? Find your own free furniture, you stupid slut. Thank you, Laura. Thank you so much for all the interior work. You did a really good
Laura
job.
Laura said, that's the last time I rent my house to you. And then Gina got all mad. By the way, Jen telling the story about going off on Laura, a very, I feel like, sanitized and watered down version of what probably really happened at carpool. Is this just what happens at carpool? I feel like carpool, based on this and what I've seen from Big Little Lies, it just seems like the carpool lane or the drop-off lane, that's just where moms just go off on each other. it's like, okay, whose turn is it? Oh, it's Jen's turn. Okay, Jen's going to go up to someone and you hear like the little, can you roll down your window, please? You know what? Stay the fuck away from my man and stay away from my children. I don't appreciate what you've done and you're supposed to be a friend to me and you were actually just the biggest bitch in the world to me. And by the way, have a great day. Okay, I'll see you later today. Bye.
Well, I think carpool lanes are like jail for moms or dads because that you can't get out. Like you get in that line, you're stuck there. And then have you ever been like accidentally locked in a room? Like one time I had locked myself in a bathroom on accident. It was terrifying. I turned into a savage immediately. It's like I couldn't get out. And I was like, you just start freaking out, like hitting walls. I was like hitting random things like to see if it would open. And I think that's what it's like in carpool, where you're driving, your kids are in the car, and then you just realize there's nowhere to go, you know? And then you just your base instincts start coming out and you just start yelling at a bitch. Like, what are you gonna do?
Yeah. I think it seems fun. So Jen is like, well, then I calmed down and I realized, you know what? Once I got like myself back, I thought, well, why can't we just like, you know, get along? She's basically like, why can't we just like co-parent? So Tamara's like,
I think like she's making it sound like she like really calmed down emotionally. No, I think you realized now you've got 9 children and
yeah,
you're going to have to do something. And girl, you ain't even get paying to get your nails done. Like exactly. You're going to need some help. So she's like, I shouldn't have yelled at that person because she would have been a good employee. Although fuck that girl too. Like I get that Jen's the one who left her husband and all of that, but still you don't go start hooking up with your friend's ex-husband. That's weird.
Yeah, it's fucked up. So
please come on the show, by the way. She's going to be on the show. I was like, we welcome you, Laura. Yeah.
So then Jen's saying how they have, like, Will has an apartment and the kids go back and forth, etc. And Tamara's like, oh, really? Have you seen it? Is it on his Instagram? And she's like, well, I'm actually, like, blocked on his Instagram, so I don't see anything. Thank you so much for reminding me of that.
I've got it.
Tamara. Of course, Tamara's got the Instagram ready to make everybody cry. But wait, did we know that Will moved to Orange County? We didn't know this. She said that Will stopped working for the parents. She said that Will stopped working for her family and that he wasn't able to pay her rent anymore. But did we know that he moved to the OC? Because this is crazy. So is Will a thirsty ass husband who's going to move to the OC and now his new girlfriend is going to be on the show?
Did they both move to OC? Wasn't that her story that they both moved to OC? Or is it that she moved to OC alone?
Oh, I thought it was her, but then I also thought it was weird that he would leave his kids, but then he was working for her family in Oklahoma, I thought. So, I don't know. I didn't know that he'd been here this whole time, but I kind of love that for Will if he did move here just to get on the show. You go, thirsty Will. Come on.
Maybe to be near his kids.
No, it's only, who would do that? Who would move somewhere to be near 6 children? Dude, I mean, I would do it for a TV show, but 6 children? Jesus Christ. If there's ever a reason to go on House Hunters International, it's for that. I'm just here because I really wanted to retire away from 6 children. Please.
Good time to mention we have a new Dwell Hello up this week, so if we can go check that out on Wondery Plus. So, anyway, so of course Tamara has it ready. She probably has already done the research to see that Will has blocked Jen. So, she's like, oh, you want to look? You want to look? And so, of course, Jen's seeing footage from of her kids at Will's house. And it's making her, like, you know, it's causing her to choke up. And it's, like, hard. It's hard to see it. She's still, you know, she's saying how she's still, you know, like, she still loves him on a certain level. You know, he's part of her life, yada, yada, yada. So she's just, like, really sad. And then Tamara's like, so, when you see him with the kids, it's just them, and you're not in that picture, does that hurt you? Like, you've been, I don't know, what's a good word for it?
Let me just come up with a word for it. That's a word I've never used before. I'm trying not to make this about myself. Erased? Are you an erased parent? Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Can you see my ear? Because I can only hear you out of one ear because one of them's been erased. Ah, stop erasing me. One of my arms is gone. Oh, I'm off the now. Stop erasing me.
Now, look, I'm not laughing at parental erasure because I imagine it's probably just so incredibly painful for the parent. And for Tamara, like, I'm just laughing that this is a Jen scene, but somehow Tamara's going to make it about
being erased. Don't you remember that big Facebook post that this daughter put out? And she's like, I've asked my mother, the only thing I want from her is to stop talking about me. And this is all Tamara does. It's like, I'm not your story life. She's like,
I've been erased. Her name is Sydney. Her phone number is 570-ERASURE.
I can't even listen to A Little Bit More Respect anymore. This is by the band Erasure.
It's just so shameless. It's just so shameless that she's like, oh, wow, Jen, you're crying right now. Do you feel erased? Like, oh, come on.
She's like, whatever you're feeling, I did it first.
Jesus.
So,
although she did kind of, because doesn't Jen's storyline kind of reek of Tamara's? Because she has this, we get to this, is it now? We get to it later. I'm sorry for jumping around, but we get to kind of a Ryan scene where Jen's like, oh, here's my son calling. And he's like, I want to go toilet paper. And she's like, yeah, I don't parent my children. I don't believe in it. I think it'll work out great. It's very reminiscent of Ryan stuff.
Yeah. So, okay. So we have a flashback to Tamara talking about erasure, et cetera. And she talks about Sydney. It's the usual stuff. So now we go back to Kinta.
She says the last time. Oh, no. Never mind. Go ahead.
Yeah. So we go back to Kinta. And now it's time for a pickleball, our favorite. So it's basically Gina and Emily, they go out to the pickleball.
Gina and Emily are like the pickleball of the Housewives, I feel like. They're like, some people yes. kind of like them and make a stink, but I would never hang out with those people. Sorry, pickleball people. I know there's a lot of you out there. But in general, it just doesn't seem that great to me. And it's just like, it's never going to be tennis. You know what I mean? Like, people can try and sell it to me all they want to, but it's just not the real thing. And that's how I feel about both Gina and Emily. So, congratulations. You are the human equivalent of pickleball.
And it just leads to one of the tried and true Bravo tropes, bad tennis on Bravo, or in this case, pickleball, which is that, oh my God, hitting the ball and no one, like Emily keeps missing it and it's hilarious. I just want two people to be able to play tennis. Why do they keep showing us this? It's like, I can't, because you know what the worst part is when you play tennis and someone doesn't know how to play, or if you don't know how to play, you're just chasing balls around a square area. And that's just like no fun. And watching people doing that, it just takes me back to all those times you go chasing after a little ball. And it's unpleasant to me.
Thank you for that monologue, Archie.
It's a...
Archie's like, all that time I've spent chasing a ball. It led to nothing.
Ultimately, it led to
nothing.
But you know what it's like. It's hot out, and it's like there's just your. I'm like,
oh yeah, I come from a tennis family. I was forced to play tennis, and I was a chunky kid, and I could never play it, and I could never hit anything. Actually, I got okay at it, but I just hated it. I resented it. I grew up in Texas. It's hot as fuck over there, and there I was having to chase balls, and they make you do the run from line to line, and I hated it. And our coach was named David, and he hated me right back. And he used to pelt me with the balls because I wouldn't run fast enough. And so he would throw the ball up in the air and slam it at me. And I still fucking hate tennis. I still fucking hate it. And then I went home to get a little comfort, and I told my mom that I was being abused and attacked with tennis balls, and I had bruises on me. And she was like, ah, ha, 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 ha. So, yeah, I mean, I get it. I fucking get it.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
I'm Dan Taberski. In 2011, something strange began to happen at the high school in Leroy, New York.
I was like at my locker and she came up to me and she was like stuttering super bad. I'm like, stop f-ing around. She's like, I can't.
A mystery illness, bizarre symptoms, and spreading fast.
It's like doubling and tripling and it's all these girls.
With a diagnosis, the state tried to keep on the down low.
Everybody thought I was holding something back.
Well, you were holding something back intentionally.
Yeah.
No, it's hysteria. It's all in your head. It's not physical. You're exaggerating.
Is this the largest mass hysteria since the witches of Salem? Or is it something else entirely?
Something's wrong here. Something's not right.
Leroy was the new Dateline, and everyone was trying to solve the murder.
A new limited series from Wondery and Pineapple Street Studios. Hysterical. Follow Hysterical on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can binge all episodes of Hysterical early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
My tennis trauma is that I also played tennis and I took lessons. I took lessons for like 8 years. I played so much tennis with like my instructor, but I never actually seemed to play in a non-controlled environment, like when it was not an instructor. And I was so good, like, God, my backhand, a vicious, vicious backhand. It was like the Heather Dubrow of backhands. But then when I would try, I went to try out for the tennis team in high school and I was like, you know what? All my life, I've never been good at sports, but this is one sport that I'm good at and I can do it. And I choked. And I was like, ah. So then that was sophomore year. Then junior year, I'm like, okay, I'm going to do it again. But this time, nerves were out of me and I choked again. I was like, okay. And then senior year, I was like, okay, I'm a senior now. I could do this. And I choked again. And they didn't even give me a sympathy slot on the varsity team because that's what they do with seniors. If you still suck by the time you're a senior on any sport, they still put you on varsity and then you just are benched. But they didn't even put me on like sympathy varsity. And I was like, I know how good I am at tennis. I just am not very good in a real world scenario. And I feel like that just really sums up like so much of my life.
But the practice really helped because then you moved to LA and you spent, God, your entire 20s choking on balls.
Yeah, it's a shame. I could have been at the U.S. Open if I'd just applied myself a little bit further.
Okay, so then Emily, so Heather and Shannon are being wacky, getting ready to play, and Shannon's like, I put eyelashes on, so I'm not really sure if they're straight. Could you tell me if they're straight? Heather's like, let me tell you a secret. I can't see. Okay. People tell me I'm married to Mama Elsa. And I'm like, you know what? We're just going to roll with it because I can't see. Feels like Terry to me.
I don't see. That's why I have a dedicated servant to be my eyes and my ears. So then back to the tennis court. Gina's like, you know what, Emily? I want to talk to you. And she's like, oh, no.
No, yeah.
No, fuck off.
Listen. I know. But like, I just want to talk to you because I don't want anything. Like, I don't want to have us to have any problems ever. And like, last night you were like clearly upset at me.
Well, I don't even know what you're talking about.
Yeah, well, Jen said to me that you were saying that Heather says, like, how high did she jump just because Heather told her?
I didn't say that, Gina, okay? Well, I mean, I kind of said it. But, like, in a different way, okay? And by the way, did they tell you when I pulled a turkey sandwich out of my purse? Because that made it hilarious.
That's fine, but then you said that, and then, like, that pissed me off. It did, because I was reactionary. It turns out I have strong political beliefs that are not liberal. I'm reactionary.
Well, what I was saying is that one minute you're like, I love Katie, everybody should love Katie, and then you have one sit down with Heather Dubrow, and then suddenly it's like Katie sucks and you fucking hate Katie, and now Katie is dead to you.
Translation, we made an agreement this season we'd go after Heather Dubrow together with Katie, and now you fucked it all up, Gina. What the hell is wrong with you?
Pretty much, you know, and Gina tried to do that behind the scenes, and she got caught doing it. So,
sorry.
So Emily does this whole thing where she's comparing Heather to the Godfather. She's like, I imagine like Heather's there and she puts her ring out and then Gina falls to her knees and lays on the sword. And, you know, and they do this whole funny thing where they kind of like she's narrating the scene while we're seeing footage of Heather and Terry in their home from last year and Gina apologizing to Heather. Yeah, it was a fun bit. It's a fun little bit.
Well, she's also correct. That is what Gina does. Unfortunately, though, Emily also does it. She does it for Tamara, and she's a little more forceful. She stands up for herself slightly more than Gina does, but this is like two pick me's really having a fight of like, who's the bigger pick me when you're both just kissing asses to stay on the show. And it's sad. It's, you know, it's like watching two pickleball rackets go at each other. I can't.
And they'll never be tennis. So Emily says, you let her manipulate you. You worry about what she thinks. You're so far up her ass, which is funny because Emily's mad that Gina said that Emily is so far up Tamara's ass. And she's like, no, I do worry about what she thinks, like, but like, I'm not up her ass. And she's like, yes, you are. Like, you're up Tamara's ass, first of all.
Oh, Tamara doesn't tell me what to do ever.
Well, I just think in all honesty, Emily, this is like just about, you know what? Like, I know you're working on it and I get it, but like, you're like being a grand bitch and I just really don't like that. You know, it's not the Emily I know.
and then we see a flashback to Emily going to Jen, be like, you're so fucking stupid. So Emily goes, you know what? I've been aggressive since the day you met me, which I just think that's the funniest defense. Like, no, I'm not newly aggressive. I've always been this awful. Why are you mad now?
And she's like, but we need to work on that. And she goes, I'm 48 years old. What do you want me to fucking do about it now? Well, like, you're fixing like literally everything else. You can't use that defense as a Real Housewife when literally you come back with a new face every year. You can't be like, I'm so against change when literally you're a new human being. Like, you're in a different complete meat sack than you were last year. I don't even recognize this one.
But also, like, your last several years, I feel like your storyline has been like, I'm doing a lot of work on myself, so that way my mom and I could have... Or, like, she's expecting her mom to do a lot of work, and her mom's older than her.
Right. Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think the storyline's ever been that Emily's working on herself. It's that everybody else needs to work on themselves.
Yeah. So Gina's like, you and Tamara do this thing where you're like, oh, I'm an asshole. No, I'm a big asshole. High five. Like, that's not cool. And Emily's like, oh, well, Heather's like, get on your knees. And you're like, okay, Heather.
That's not true.
It is true.
Okay, fine. Then say I'm a pussy. Okay, that's fine.
And she's like, I don't think you're a pussy. It's a difference. I wouldn't say that. I just think with her you are.
Why are you getting so aggressive with me?
I'm not. I have a weapon right in my purse. This turkey sub. I could hit you with it. And I didn't even hit you with it.
I don't, you know what? Everybody fucking hates me. That's fine.
So Gina, this is so bratty Gina when she's like not winning an argument.
Everyone hates me. Fine. She's mad at me. They're mad at me. You're mad at me. Pickleball's mad at me. I'm mad at Do you think I could use this as a spatula? Because I don't have one and they're really expensive. I'm taking this home.
Maybe this could be a roof to our house. You think this will fit over a cauldron? So, So she throws her racket to the side and like, everyone hates me, everyone's mad at me. Oh god, now the fucking sprinklers are on. Even the sprinklers are mad at me. I'm like, I do actually think this house was alive. And this house was like, let's get her.
I like to think that Elizabeth Vargas is just sitting somewhere with a remote control.
Unbelievable. Undeniable. Sprinklers go on.
So Gina goes in and she has to come back out because she can't get in. She tries to storm off and it fails because she's Gina, you know. So Emily's like, you can't even storm out, right? What kind of housewife are you? Have you had multiple seasons on this show?
Are you coming back? She's like, I have to. I went to a dead end. Which is so Gina. Gina would walk into a dead end.
I just love that she even fails in a walk-off. I mean, it's like Housewives 101. Come on.
She's literally in like a sprinkler parade. So now like Emily has now cornered her because she went to a dead end. And she's like, listen. She's like,
no, I'm wet. I don't want to go. I feel mad.
And I was like, listen.
I don't want to deal with it.
I was like, calm down. I'm going to hug you because it hurts my feelings to hear you say things like that.
I'm fucking sorry then. I feel bad.
Oh, she's like, but it feels like you think less of me. And then inside, Shannon and Heather hear them arguing. And Shannon's like, oh, what? What's going on out there? And both of them are squinting out the window.
I think what I see are two people without homes slapping each other with sausages.
I think it's a bum fight. Hold on. I'll protect us both. She holds up a cleaver. So Gina's like,
you know what? You want me to come to you and talk to you, and now look at what's happening. Like, this is what I'm talking about. I just feel like I can't even approach you. No.
And then she's like wiping the snot off of like Emily's nose and everything. Emily's like, you can always approach me,
but I don't want to feel like I'm tiptoeing around you, because like I don't want to feel like I'm like walking on eggshells right now, because like I can't. Like, I just literally bought those eggs, and like if I break them, it's like I have to go back to the store. It's just like not fair.
I know that you're going through a lot right now. I mean, just last week, Shane was trying to cook beans in your house. I said, Shane, you're going to drown everybody in there.
It's residential, not for cooking.
So I guess this is, I don't even know what they're saying. They kind of make up. And then Gina's telling us, my relationship is so fragile right now, and it makes me fearful that the same thing could happen to me and Emily. Like, I could leave Emily because suddenly I'm making more money and I don't need her to buy me lunch anymore.
Yeah, Gina. Gina's like, my relationship is so fragile after I threw out my boyfriend. So Emily is like, I wonder why that is. So Emily's like,
which, by the way, we make jokes, but I'm all for Gina getting rid of Travis.
Oh, it sounds like it was probably the totally right decision. Yeah. It's just like funny that she's like, it's just like things are so rough right now. It's like, yeah, but you threw
it out. Like so hard kicking Travis out and like remodeling the house. And getting rid of all traces of him, it's very difficult.
I think Gina's actually getting screwed. I will stand up for Gina in one moment. This is an instance where I'll stand up for, which is that I think she's getting screwed in that there are probably real issues with the ex that she really can't bring up on camera. And so, like, all we do get is that Gina said, I'm doing well now, and I have enough money to buy my kids' gifts, but not enough money for her to buy my kids' and Travis's kids' gifts. So they need to go. Like, that's so, it just sounds so cold, and which I think is hilarious. I think it's hilarious that, like, she's getting this edit that's probably so unjust.
Yeah, I would imagine it has something to do with like child support, and her money maybe would have to go into child support for those kids. I mean, I'm not really, or the wife wouldn't have to pay the child support because supposedly the wife is from a really rich family, the ex-wife. And so she's trying to get less support because he's making money because he's with Gina, who's on TV. So, or does that, I don't know. That's just what comments I'm reading on the internet, but like whatever it is. Yeah, you're right. She can't talk about it. So it's just like,
I want to buy a Nintendo Switch for my kids, but they only come with four controllers, and I don't have enough money to buy two Switches, so sorry.
Travis had to go.
Also, did you notice in the, I just noticed this for the first time, but when it shows Gina's family, it only shows her kids and Travis. I was like, man, those other kids really get the shaft.
It's fucked up. It's so really fucked up.
And I'm sure that the mom's probably like, they can't be on TV or whatever, you know, but it just looks so cold. It really does. Like,
but they're not my real family, but you guys can be in the picture.
I know. That's what I think is just so funny. I don't think it's a funny situation, but I feel like it's actually a very complicated situation. But Bravo's just like, you know what? No, we'll just, this
is, let's just make Gina look like even more of an asshole.
Like the worst girlfriend and mom and like sort of quasi stepmom of all time.
Yeah, it's not bad enough that we let her dress like a metallic pool noodle in like a you know dime store Marilyn Monroe wig on half of her head. Let's just continue to bury her.
Let's just make her look like the most wretched person on earth. So anyway, let's go back over to Big Bear. Tamara brings Jen a Diet Coke.
You call. It's like. Did someone ask for a Big Bear?
Well, I'm out of work now, so I might as well make my way to the mountains. So
Alexis pulls Katie aside. She's like, can I have a chit chat with you real quick? Menopause, am I right? Smurfs versus the Muppet Babies, which is it? I really don't know which one it is. Here's what I like: Red Bull, cheese, and boobs. Have I ever said that before? Oh my god, Johnny J. It's like, focus.
Johnny J is really going through it right now because Smurfette owes him like $50,000 and still is not paid up. And so I just like, I'm like ready to go off on that bitch.
So she pulls her aside and she's basically like, listen, Heather hates you and she's terrifying. So you need to work on that. You don't want Heather against you. Okay.
And now it's become a new thing, though, where she says, you know, I really, really like you. I just don't think that laughing was the right move. And we see a flashback to the golf event where Heather was like, well, enjoy this. Well, this was a lovely day. And Katie just like laughs, like, you know, laugh, acknowledging this was a shit show. And like, was that a controversial moment right there? That laugh? I didn't think so.
Yeah, but you know, on the phone later with Alexis, Heather was like, and then after I tell her how hurt I am, she laughed. Actually laughed. Wait a minute. Why are there boats starting to circle around in the ocean like it's a big drain? And then she laughed.
There's smoke coming out of your eyes. It's purple.
And then she laughed.
If you ever come for me.
How many, after that golf event, how many pineapples did Heather Dubrow disembowel in her kitchen afterwards enraged? Like, she's going to go talk to me like that. You know, she just reaches in like an Indiana Jones in the Temple of Doom when the guy reaches and pulls out someone's heart. That's what she does to the pineapples.
And laughed at me. And then she laughed at me. Oh, by the way, I was thinking of Heather because I turned on Big Brother. I think it was Big Brother. Yeah, it's the only thing I'm watching on the YouTube TV. But they were playing a Kelly Clarkson interview with Reba McEntire. And Reba was like, yeah. And then basically happened was he was my manager. So we was just, it was just work. At first, it was just work. That's all it ever was. And then this black-eyed woman came in and tried to ruin my life. And that bonded us together. I was like, oh, my God, Heather Dubrow made it onto this Reba McEntire interview. No, she didn't really. But I was just thinking, wow, Reba McEntire is just such a special person. I love how she talks.
She is.
She's like, yeah. And then I met my man. I didn't even know I liked him. He was just business. And then one day, bam, dick in my face. God, now I love him. Now I love him. Gotta love him.
It's so sad that...
It wasn't Kelly Clarkson. It was Drew Barrymore. Go ahead, Ben. Sorry.
Oh, I was going to say it's so sad that NBC, like the producers of Orange County, have never been able to bring down one of Heather's former co-stars just to have like a lunch. Like everyone else gets to do that. Like here's Kristen Davis or something, or like here's what's her face, Jennifer Tilly or Meg Tilly or one of the Tilly sisters. And I'm like, is Wendy Malick, is she just not available? Like someone's got to be able
to. Well, I know Jenny McCarthy won't even do it. I mean, that's pretty bad.
I guess they did get Mark Cuban.
Mark Cuban, the HD Network.
HD Network lived on this episode, actually. So, so Alexis is saying, like, yeah, you know, she's just, like, very hard-headed. That's, like, my thing I'm going to say about her. She's, like, hard-headed. And Katie's saying, you know, if Heather and I can move forward and she can get past all this, you know, me, you know, checking to see if she called the paparazzi on people and me getting confirmation she did call it and me confronting her and humiliating her at a golf event after she gave me a very expensive bottle of champagne. I think if we get past this, you know, it's
I know, okay. Katie. Yeah, how generous of you, Katie. Katie's like, I just wish you'd get over the fact that, you know, I did nothing to her. you started it, weirdo. And then yeah. She says, well, I totally will apologize for laughing. I think you're going to have to go a little bit further than that. Okay.
Yeah, that's not going to, you know, that's, yeah. I'm already predicting disaster, a full-on disaster.
And Alexis goes, but you know what? You have to mean it in your eyes. You have to mean it in your eyes because she's going to do something I've never done to actual paper with words on it. She's going to read you. She's going to read you.
Well, I do mean it, you know. I don't want to have this angst with Heather. We're in the same friend group. I don't want to be the only person in life who's ever actually laughed at something that Heather Dubrow said. That's awkward. So Alexis is like, you know what? This is all about kumbaya. Like kumbaya this whole trip. It's like when I'm with the Johnny, we're always like, let's be kumbaya right now and have a good time. Maybe Tamara and I can have a kumbaya and bring everybody back together.
So then Tamara, yeah, you guys are, what peacemakers you are, you and Tamara. Yeah, look at you. The moral.
Spreading peace. Love all season.
Both of you just doing a great job with that.
Hello there. This is a two-part recap, okay? This is the end of part one. So thank you so much for listening to this. Just come back a little later for part two.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Strolling the Park with Caitlin Clark.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
She's never scary, it's the Green Fairy.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Know Your Worth with Jason Kurth.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
We want to hang with Liz Lang.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
The Bay Area Betches.
bitches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
We got our wish. It's Jen Plish.
She's not harsh. She's Jill Hirsch.
She's a little bit loony. Junie. My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo. We love him madly. It's Kyle Pod Chadley.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender. The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Ring that bell for Rachel.
She's the queen bee. It's Sarah Lemke.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony. Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.
If you like Watch What Crappens, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
Welcome to The Offensive Line. You guys, on this podcast, we're going to make some picks, talk some shit, and hopefully make you some money in the process. I'm your host, Annie Hagar. So here's how this show's gonna work, okay? We're gonna run through the weekly slate of NFL and college football matchups, breaking them down into very serious categories like no offense. No offense, Travis Kelce, but you gotta step up your game if Pat Mahomes is saying the Chiefs need to have more fun this year. We're also handing out a series of awards and making picks for the top storylines surrounding the world of football. Awards like the He May Have a Point Award for the wide receiver that's most justifiably bitter. Is it Brandon Ayuk, T. Higgins, or Devontae Adams? Plus, on Thursdays, we're doing an exclusive bonus episode on Wondery Plus, where I share my fantasy football picks ahead of Thursday Night Football and the weekend's matchups. Your fantasy league is as good as locked in. Follow The Offensive Line on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can access bonus episodes and listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.